Welcome to Baby in Berlin, the podcast for international families in Germany, where we share information and resources about pregnancy, birth, and the early family years. My name is Elodie. I'm a mother of two and a maternity concierge and postpartum doula living in Berlin. My role is to accompany parents on the adventure of having a baby in Germany. I mostly do this through my online course available on babyinberlin.com. I was born in France and I got pregnant shortly after moving to Germany. I came to experience firsthand what it's like to give birth in a foreign country, not knowing what to do and when, and not even speaking the language. I've created this podcast to share my knowledge of the pregnancy and birth system in Germany. I hope you'll enjoy it. Welcome. Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Baby in Berlin podcast. Today, I'm interviewing actually one of my clients. It's a first. Her name's Angela, and she's a mother in Berlin. Welcome, Angela.
Hi, welcome. Oh, sorry. Thank you for having me.
My nerves
from being at a podcast.
Don't worry. It's just me, you know. We've spoken before. So like I said, Angela is one of my clients. She's booked several services with me. And she, in particular, was a client who booked my online course, How to Find a Kita in Berlin. And so today I wanted to actually ask you about your experience, Angela, because I find that a lot of my clients obviously have difficulty understanding the system, finding a kita spot, and don't really know whether watching the online course is going to be something that's going to be of any help to them. So what I'd like you to do maybe is just to, as a bit of a background, maybe just explain when you became a mother and how you kind of felt when you found out about the entire kita situation.
Sure. So I became a mother last year in 2021, in July. And my partner and I have been in Berlin for 4 years now. So we spoke no German when we moved. And even now we still have, let's say, a decent level of German, but we're not yet fully fluent. So when I got pregnant, my first questions, at least in the bureaucratic side of things, were how are we going to do this? Not speaking the language and not knowing the all the little details that we have learned that in Germany are so important to get acquainted with. You know, like in Germany, it's all about the little details and the timing and planning things right. And I heard that from my friends as well, that becoming, like being pregnant and the whole process of Kita, Elternzeit, Elterngeld, and the Kindergeld and all the bureaucratic things around it are very important to perform well. So so that became a big question for us. How do we go about this? And that's how we ended up looking for help and found you, which we're really glad about, because it's been quite a journey. But then the How to Find a Kita course, that's how we got to it. And it was a process for us to like kind of judge how much do we really know about this, because we already have friends who have kids here, and we all were also part of a bunch of Facebook groups of parents. So we already have read a lot about it, but we weren't sure if we knew enough and how well prepared we were. So that was also one of the questions we were asking ourselves. Do we need to find out more information, or are we ready for this, to go into this Kita search? And is it true that we need to go about this as soon as we find out about the pregnancy, or even before the pregnancy, or once the child is born? So all these little questions were becoming a lot.
Yeah. So when did you actually watch the course? Do you remember? Was it before or after birth?
That was after birth. I actually wished I took this course and even just did all the research around Kita before birth, because only after doing it after birth I realized that it's a lot to have a newborn and then do anything else.
So it's not so much the timeline, it's the effort and the time it takes to
the timeline as well, though. I feel like there's the time is at the essence in these things. I come from a culture where you usually have a lot more time to do things, and it's a little bit more relaxed and flexible. So it was a hit when I realized, oh wow, I need to plan this really well, because at the course I found out about this timeline that you need to plan all your applications with, and when to sign the contract, and what are the expectations or the timeline that you have to sign the contract and apply for the Kita Gutschein, and how long is it valid for. And I didn't expect this much planning, although I should have, because in Germany you need to plan a lot, come to think of it. But yes, once I realized there was this all these timeline expectations that we needed to fill, then it became clear that it would have been better to do this before birth. But either way, we got through, and we now have a Kita spot. So
Oh, that's really good. Well, yeah. You'll tell us about this in just a minute, because I'm really we haven't spoken before the interview, so I just know you found a Kita spot, but I don't know, like, you know, when and where and stuff. So what was your experience like watching the course? Like, how did you find it in terms of being, you know, like organized and explained? And because you also had took part in one of the group coaching calls, I think. I seem to remember to ask the question. So how was your experience with the course itself?
It was really good. I did research before taking the course as well. So I was going into a lot of Facebook groups and forums, and also reading the official information. And what happened in our case was, first of all, that not all the information was available in English. And even when we used Google Translate, there were so many like lost in translation situations that I wasn't really getting, or the way the information was presented wasn't, it was maybe too official or too obvious for the person who was presenting it. So it wasn't as clear for the ones who have no idea about the system like us. So I found that when I took the course, I finally understood all these little details about the system that were missing, especially were missing in private conversations with friends, because I was hoping to get all the advice firsthand from friends, and I did, but there are very little details that turn out to be the biggest and most important ones that I found in the course and that I didn't find in private conversations, like the timeline and when are things valid, how long are things valid for, or how do you need to plan all of this, or maybe even the cultural way to approach things, because I mean, when in Rome, do as Romans do, I had no idea how to approach culturally these things properly. So that was the most important thing for me. Like all these timing situations, the planning, the cultural ways, what to look for in Kitas as well. Because I guess, I mean, with this situation with Kitas where it's so hard to get a spot, I guess I was planning to just apply to everything under the sun that I could find. And then I took the course and I was like, oh no, well, I actually can have a bit of a luxury of looking for and a responsibility on looking for certain aspects about the Kitas, how much they're going to ask from me as a mother, and from our household, and do they fit how we want to raise our child? All of these questions, they seem so obvious, but I haven't asked myself all of this because I was so preoccupied for finding a Kita. that only after I... you're so comprehensive. You have such a comprehensive way to expose things. And I found that I had this ally that was telling me, no, listen, like, you can do this and that. There's you have so much in your advantage as well, or you have so much responsibility around this as well. So unless you have a true expert as a friend and under your wing, you won't find these just on a website. I didn't find it.
Yeah. I think what happens with advice from friends is, even though it's very good, it's like one family can only tell you about the one experience they've had. And so it might be one experience with one specific kita, with one specific timeline of asking for the Gutschein. And, right. You know, they may be, I don't know, both employed or both freelancers. And it's just very difficult to find an exact family who's in your exact situation with this. Yeah. Same timeline, baby born the same month, etc., etc. So that's very difficult. So usually people sort of give you their experience on how it went for them, but you can't replicate that to every single situation, like every different situation. So I think that's quite important. And also it's important what you're saying about choosing the kitas beforehand, because I think there's the question of the responsibility to your family, but also there's also the question of sort of managing your time and managing your efforts. Because if you apply to 100 kitas and 50 of them are not suitable, mm-hmm. in the end, you're kind of wasting half of your efforts. Whereas if you pick like 30 and you know that those 30 are like perfect for you, well, you're actually applying to like you're a third less and you're spending a third, you know, like two thirds less of effort. So, so that's also super, super important. So when, so the baby was born in the summer.
Yes.
2021. When did you watch the course? Like, how long did it take you to go through the course? And when did you start the search process?
The course, it took me a week to go through it, but mostly because I was also taking care of my baby. So I think if I would have taken it, for example, while I was pregnant, that would have been a couple of days of watching and watching again and taking notes. So we're very straightforward. And I started applying very timidly without taking the course in September. But then I took the course, I believe that must have been a few months after that in December. And then right after taking the course, I felt like I had the information I needed and went on in December and January to fully apply. And then, which I think it's a little ambitious because I heard that a lot of people start a lot earlier or as soon as their baby's born. And my baby was 6 months old when I started fully and intensively applying. But even then, we got a spot. So actually, we got offered 4 spots. So, so lucky, truly so lucky.
I don't think it's lucky you put that's in true. The work.
That's
you know?
True. We did put a lot of work into it. That's true. I think we did really well. We could have in our household, and I think it could have gone a little better in timing and maybe spending more time resting and playing with my kid if I did this a little bit beforehand. But But even then, the fact that we had this new information with detail, I think was, to me, the most important, to be able to address kitas knowing that how long my kita gutschein would be valid for until I had to renew it, and how much time I knew I had to sign this contract and when until when, and all these things really gave me a planning situation that helped me out a lot.
Yeah, okay. So in January, so you started in December and then January, how much time per week did you dedicate to the kita search?
I don't know if it needs to be done this intensely, but I was dedicating several hours a day to it, at least a couple of hours a day, if not more. But this is because in my personal experience, I wanted to, first of all, I owned the process myself. My partner didn't participate on it as much. And although it was intense, I preferred it to be that way because it was clear on my mind which kitas were, I mean, of course we were talking about what we wanted to find in a kita and he was helping me finding kitas, but not into the applying process because I knew who was the person to be contacted and when and how. So I truly owned that process. And I had the time cause I was on maternity leave, but, every day I was also visiting the kitas, not knocking on their doors, but just going into the kita to know that it was an area that I liked. Because sometimes the kita had this beautiful website and amazing description and I really liked it, how it looked online. And then I went and maybe didn't like as much the park that was next to it. You know what I mean? Like all these details I want my kid to feel safe and to be, of course, as a mother in the best possible place. So this is why it took that long in terms of
intense. So it was like a couple of hours a day, including like walking around and having a look at the kitas.
Yeah, maybe including the walking around would have been more, an hour more than that. Because I also followed up a lot with the kitas.
Yeah.
As much as they wanted me to.
Okay.
I think this is why, because some of them expect you to follow up and some others don't.
Yeah.
So that was part of the process.
Okay. How many did you apply to in total?
I applied to 55 kitas and 5 tagis multas, just to have them as a backup.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you did most of your work in a bit of December and January, and then in February you got the first spot?
Yes, by the end of February we were offered our first spot, which was the one we took. And then we got another 3 offered recently. Throughout March and April we had another 3 offered.
Well, that's quite amazing. And your baby is starting when?
Kita? In August.
In August. Yes. Okay. So perfect timing.
Perfect timing, yes, because that's when kitas open. I mean, that's or start their year. We also got offered spots for later on. Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, one thing to be said is that it's not to feel discouraged about this search because it can be overwhelming and intimidating, but really after seeing how kitas reacted and even when we were rejected, it was like, oh, okay, at least I got an answer. You know, it's good that it's good that I know how my process is doing. So I realized that although it can be intimidating, not to feel discouraged. I think spots are there. They're maybe hard to find, but they're there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've yet to meet a family who went through the actual process properly and didn't find a spot. obviously, if you scramble in June and you haven't contacted any kita and you want to have a spot in August, it's very difficult. But the spots are there, like you say. You know, the kitas also need to fill the spot, so they're there. I'm would be interested to know how you kept track of your search, of the status. Like, did you use a spreadsheet? Did you use what did you do?
I did. So first, I had a spreadsheet with all the kitas, which is the one that I got in the course. And then after I did the research on all of those, I chose the ones that I wanted to apply for, and I did my own Excel sheet. And I kept track on when did I apply and how, because some of them you need to apply on their website and some others through a form that it's printed and you have to get it there by post and all of this. So I wanted to keep track so that I could remind them how I applied and when, if I either got an answer or not, and what was that first answer, if I had to follow up when. So I had this also... This one that I had connected to a calendar so that I would remember when to follow up to each. So, yeah, it was a a bit of an intimidating spreadsheet. I may have gone too much into detail into the how, like, yeah, the amount of details I wanted in this spreadsheet, but it made me feel good to see all of this information and knowing that I was prepared to talk to every person and say, oh yeah, Frau this and that, you know, so that it doesn't sound like I'm just sending the same exact same emails to everyone. So I just wanted to be really respectful as well of each Kita. That's how it worked for me. A very colorful spreadsheet.
I think that's, that's what I recommend to have definitely, and to treat this as you would like a job search or an apartment search is definitely totally. With like status updates and everything. And, I think it's also really important to, like you mentioned, to have the reminders in the calendars about, when to follow up, etc. So that's a really cool tip there. That's really good.
I think it's easy to fall into this assumption that just because you sent an email, it's in their email and it's on them. But it's really not the case. At least not, it wasn't for us. We following up was important, and making sure they answered to the emails to know that they actually read it was important, and that we were on the waiting list. So I think this is why it's so important to know where you are with each Kita, because otherwise your email just may be there unopened, who knows, or on spam or.
No, absolutely. I think that shouldn't be an assumption at all, because it's a very damaging assumption if you send an email to 100 Kitas and expect to have 100 replies or to even get a spot. I mean, it does work sometimes. You know, I've heard that, you know, a couple of times that it did work, but it's quite rare. So and so just to finish off, you already mentioned one thing, but if there was something you would do differently about the Kita search, now you have a Kita, obviously, and if you were to have another baby, then you would probably get a spot at the same Kita. But if you were to do it all over again, what would you do differently? Like, what would be your tip to other parents that you haven't maybe shared yet?
One thing I wish I'd do differently was to find out about the Kitas beforehand, before birth, because all this research into their schedules, their closing times, their educational concept, and all of this was a very long research, but the most important one at the end of the day. So I wished I did that while I was pregnant, maybe even just walking around, because it's so good to walk during your pregnancy. So why not walking around and visiting these Kitas when I have more time and disposition to it? So I think that was a big one. And doing all the research on how to find the Kita as well before birth, and being prepared to just, I mean, the same, I found that it was the same when applying for Elterngeld and things like that, right? Like just having the forms ready so that as soon as the baby is born, you just, you know, send the forms and all the documents. So I think it was the same for Kita.
Yeah. I think sometimes, parents in the pregnancy find that they don't have a lot of time, and they might, once they're out of work, have more time. So when the baby comes, etc. But that's once you've had a baby, fantasy. You know that's not true. Yes. You never get back so much time as you were when you didn't have a baby.
Exactly.
So actually, without panicking, because there is no need to panic really, but to try and get organized as quickly as possible would be your biggest tip.
Yes. I think that goes with everything in Germany, in my experience. Just be organized, plan ahead.
Absolutely. Good. Well, we're very glad that you managed to find a Kita for your baby.
Thank you.
And we're really wishing you the best for the Eingewöhnung, for the adaptation time in August.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time, Angela. It was really nice talking to you again and getting some news about how the Kita search went.
Yeah, it was great. Hopefully this can help someone and many people.
I really hope it can help someone and that people will feel motivated about getting to understand the system as quickly as possible to really maximize their chances. Thanks, Angela, again, and have a
Thank
great
you.
Day, everyone. Take care.
Bye-bye.
For more information about my services and courses, go to babyinberlin.com. Sound and music by David Nichols. Thank you all for listening. See you on the next episode.